Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for DebtWire Municipals. Today's podcast title is Public Pensions, Private Pursuits. I'm joined by Jean-Pierre Aubry, the Associate Director of State and Local Research at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and my DebtWire Muni's colleague, Stephanie Fagnani. Jean-Pierre, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Really happy to be here. Nice to see you, Steph.
And Stephanie, welcome to the podcast as well.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
So, Jean-Pierre, my sources tell me that you're okay with being called JP. Can I do that?
Yeah, JP is fine. Thanks.
Well, that's good. Or I was going to be in trouble. So now that we've established that, JP, in the past year, you've completed a couple of research briefs relevant to our discussion today. One is, how do public pension plan returns compare to simple index investing? And another one was, public pension funded levels improve amidst rising interest rates. And through referencing those two briefs, I wanted to focus on a couple of areas regarding public pension plans. One, investment strategies, contrasting active management versus passive. And two, investment performance, and what's important to review regarding the financial health of a public pension plan. But I want to start out with something that's been in the news a lot over the past few months, and that's private credit. It's become a very popular phrase. When you hear the term, JP, in terms of private credit investment in public pension plans, does this represent a new investment strategy, or what does it represent to you?
For me as a researcher, when I see the news about private credit and the excitement around that in the investment community, I guess, is the word I would use. I see it as simply another iteration in the long trend of plans shifting out of traditional stocks and bonds and into more opaque and esoteric asset classes, more broadly known as alternatives. So this includes hedge funds, private equity, swaps, and other kinds of asset classes that are just outside of the public equity, public fixed income assets that are more commonly known to the kind of everyday investor. And so when I hear private credit, what I immediately think is this is just a continuation of the trend away from traditional stocks and bonds.
So let me follow up with, what does it mean for a pension plan portfolio to be actively managed versus passively managed?
That's a good question. What it essentially means is that pension funds are trying to beat the market by placing bets on various stocks or bonds. It additionally means they are playing with their asset allocation more frequently at a high level, which entails for pension funds primarily the shift out of stocks and bonds into private equity, private real estate, private debt, opportunistic investing. The list goes on and on, to the point where today pension funds hold 35% of their assets outside of traditional stocks and bonds. And that used to be 5% in 2001. And so that move away from taking risk in public equities and taking safety in plain fixed income to something more complicated and complex, that is what we think of as active investing in the public pension arena.
In your research brief, or one of the research briefs, you looked at active management versus passive management. I want to get a sense from you. Did active management improve plan performance or not?
So our data shows it's roughly a wash over the long haul. At the center, we've been studying pensions closely since about 2009. And we've covered various areas on the funding, the benefit changes that happened in the wake of the global financial crisis, and the investment approach of pension funds. And what our data has consistently shown is this shift away from stocks and bonds that I mentioned before. And we've always been somewhat skeptical at the center of that transition. And every time we look at this issue, the same answer bubbles up. It's either that pension funds that hold more in alternatives perform worse relative to their peers, pension funds perform worse relative to their benchmarks. And most recently, we looked at the same question through another angle by comparing pension funds to a 60-40 index portfolio. And what we've shown is that since 2001, at least, they haven't performed any better on average. And they've performed much worse since the global financial crisis. The reason they've performed even close to a 60-40 portfolio is because they outperformed prior to the global financial crisis. But they've outperformed tremendously since then. From our standpoint, if you're going to make a case for this, for shifting away from a more transparent investment process, you know, the bar needs to be not just having equivalent returns to the more transparent process, but by significantly exceeding it. And so that result that we see is troubling.
So JP, I'm curious, were there any limitations to your work on passive investing? And if there were, how did you attempt to address them?
It's a good question. There were some limitations to our work. Essentially, it's not clear that all pension funds are aiming to achieve a 60-40 portfolio. They may have patently different goals, right? But our point was to just compare pension fund performance to a understandable standard that the public could, and the lay public and professionals could use to assess pension funds. In point of fact, pension funds' risk profile may be a little more risk heavy, 70-30 versus 60-40, if you really want to match their risk profile. And maybe it would have more in international stocks if you were really trying to match their profile relative to a basic 60-40 indexed portfolio that we used. Interestingly enough, when you match their profile more closely, they actually underperform even more than the 60-40, primarily because recently a fixed income has not done well with the rise in interest rates. And 60-40 portfolio has more holdings of fixed income, it's almost 40%, than the average pension fund. That actually helps pension funds in our analysis. But if you were to match their risk profile and do something more like 70-30, they would have underperformed that 70-30 benchmark over the whole period.
Okay, so when I read about the financial health of public plans in news articles, they usually talk a lot about funded ratios. But when you're reviewing a plan, what do you look at?
That's a good point. The funded ratio is one part of all the metrics that we investigate when we're trying to understand the health of a pension fund. It's a snapshot that essentially tells you the history of the plan and not really where it's going. When I'm thinking about where a pension fund is going and its sustainability, I look at cash flows for a pension fund, kind of the contributions going in relative to the contributions going out, how that compares to their assets. If you have a very significant negative cash flow, let's say something around, you know, 8% of your assets is leaving the fund every period, every year, then you have to have an 8% return just to maintain your pile of assets, which is a reasonably high bar. And if you don't do that, then the pile of assets dwindles over time. And that for us is where the rubber hits the road. Does the pension fund actually maintain its asset pile and have funds to continue as a going concern? And so that's what we look at primarily for thinking about sustainability. The funded ratio does tell you where the pension fund is right now and how well it's done up to this point in terms of funding its benefit. Doesn't give you a great idea of how it might look going forward.
JP, to follow up on that, when we think about how things look going forward, this is a big picture question, but should public pension plans be using more stringent approaches to amortizing their unfunded liabilities? Or what would you say in terms of like best practices should pension plans be following?
I should give pension funds some credit here. In the wake of the global financial crisis, they really tightened a lot of their actuarial approaches by shortening amortization periods. It used to be 30 years was the norm. Now for the average pension fund, it's closer to 20. They've reduced benefits for new hires, promising less going forward. And that took some time to work into the system. But what the benefits that new hires are being promised today is more similar to what new hires are being promised in the 80s, before there was a run-up in benefits for pension funds as asset piles grew larger, pension funds were better funded, economies were growing, and so pension funds enlarged the benefit. And what we're seeing now is that pension funds have returned to what the benefit promises were prior to that growth period. And on top of that, pension funds have put in the funds that they promised. So it's not just about setting the right rules, you have to actually follow them. and pension funds have done a lot, and they're sponsoring government, to be clear. It's actually the governments that have to put aside the money, right? The taxpayer. The governments have done a really good job of sticking to the plans that they set in the wake of the global financial crisis. So on that front, I really do feel like the pension fund universe deserves some credit.
As far as overall health of pension plan systems, things solid, or are there weaknesses here? I'm just trying to get a sense of, like, with this advent of private credit investing, that seems to be something that's not necessarily a positive, but the system as a whole seems like it's doing well. But how problematic is this use of active management as you think about public pension plans and what really affects their financial health?
We're skeptical that this really is an improvement. Again, I think in many other arenas, pension funds have set themselves on the right path in their amortization and actuarial practices, in their benefit levels, in their actual commitment to funding the benefits that they promise. But on the investment side, the shift that we've seen since 2001, the unwinding of that has really yet to begin. I don't see many pension funds actively stepping away from the shift away from traditional stocks and bonds. If anything, they're doubling down or holding their position. So from our perspective, that is a continuous risk for pension funds. That being said, in the past 3 years, we've seen funded ratios consistently improve for the other reasons I've mentioned about proper funding, actuarial practices, reducing the growth in liabilities through lower benefits, et cetera. So pension funds are on a better footing than they have been for quite some time. The last frontier from our standpoint is thinking about how to restructure investments for greater transparency in the public domain and to secure the gains that pension funds have worked hard to achieve over the past 10 years.
Well, thanks, JP and Stephanie, for a thoughtful discussion on public pensions and the role of private credit investment. To our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing via Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.